بسم الله، إذا كمي؟ بسم الله،
Just check the audio, someone.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost that He gave us the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Because of this kalima, mashallah, we know how to live properly in this life, to go for what real happiness is. And we know, Alhamdulillah, from this kalima, how to attain, inshallah ta'ala, Allah's pleasure. And by attaining Allah's pleasure, inshallah, He will admit us to His Jannah. May Allah put us all in Jannah Firdaus. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. And obviously, living in this country, we have to navigate a lot of things with our Iman and Islam. And one of the big issues that has come up, especially amongst our communities, especially in the community of Lexington as well, dealing with the LGBTQ ideology and being really impressed and imposed upon our children at such a young age. So having said that, we wanted to have this program. In reality, I don't like to, it's never been my preference. We already talked about gender, about I want to say last year or so. In December, and we spoke about it. It was about an hour and 30-minute program, mashallah. We spoke about in detail about Islam's perspective on gender and how gender is immutable. It is, you know, it's your chromosome, etc. Alhamdulillah, we went through that conversation. This is more focused on the LGBTQ and exactly what they claim and our responses to it, inshallah ta'ala. So I wanted to make it a little bit more condensed. So it has a bit of a part where we're going to learn, inshallah ta'ala, and has a second part where we're going to talk about what we can do as a community, inshallah, and kind of moving forward to kind of deal with these situations around us, inshallah ta'ala. So I ask Allah for tawfiq, inshallah. We'll go briefly over the issue. I'm pretty sure everyone's well aware about it anyways. I have roughly about an hour. There's so much we can do, really, but just time is our constraint, right? So there's only so much we can handle, but we'll try our best to cover as much as we can, inshallah. So we'll talk about the issue first. Then we'll talk about the facts, right? The actual facts that are there. And then we'll think together, because for me, we can talk about the research and science, but we'd also like to see what our philosophy and what our minds can come up with as well. And this question about happiness, which is a very big question for the LGBT community, is that they want to become happy, right? So what happens when you are not happy, right? And finally, we're going to talk about a responsibility, about what we have to be doing as a Muslim community, inshallah. So let's talk about, inshallah, the issue. So obviously, we're all aware that the number of people that are identifying as LGBTQ in the last decade has skyrocketed, right? So we find, for example, in CDC, they mentioned in 2021, according to a study back in 2016, that 8% of high school students report being LGBT, right? And amongst those surveyed, almost 14% of both middle school and high school students identify as having a sexual orientation other than straight. So we're talking about roughly, if we're saying 8%, it's roughly about 1/10 of the entire population. Could you imagine that? one in four in 2021, that they said one in four students identify as LGBTQ. That's 25% of a high school that you and I are sending our kids to. Could you imagine? Okay. So then what else? We find that, throughout the entire world, or I'm sorry, rather throughout the US and the Western world, we find that a large number of young people are also following this trend. So, different surveys will show us different numbers. So they said overall students overall, the high school, about 120,000 students, 1.8% would identify as transgender. 2016 also says something similar about that of someone identifying other than their sex, right? We're looking at in the UK, this number is, if you're looking back in 2009, and I think you and I are very well aware that this wasn't an issue for myself and yourself growing up, right? We never even heard about this. It was considered something which is condemnable and something which was considered an evil act, right? Homosexuality, all these different things. People didn't talk about it in very favorable terms. And no one really came out to say that they identify such a thing. It's a really recent phenomenon. And so this recent phenomenon actually skyrocketed. If you're looking at the number of cases in the UK for the research in NHS, right? They said back in ni you have about in 2009, 94 people were being referred to gender clinics, as opposed to in 2016, it's reached about 1988. 1,988. Let the number sink in, right? How big of a jump this is, right? And so we go even further. We see that the record number of referrals we're looking now is equal to about 3,200% more patients than they did 10 years ago. It's a percent jump by 3,000%. Okay. You and I wish that like our stocks and things like that jump this high. We'll never get that. Allahu Akbar. But the thing is that subhanAllah, this increase is shocking and it's terrifying to think about. And so then they start to teach. This is the type of education process. This is actually from one of their books, The Gender Unicorn. And I'll talk about the unicorn once we have some time, inshallah, near the end. About like, is everything okay? Good. Okay. We'll talk about the unicorn and these different types of imaginary figures that they use to talk about gender ideology. It's a very good metaphor for what it really is, I feel. Having said that, they say your gender identity, where you identify as male, female, girl, male, man, boy, and your gender expression, which is your feminine or masculine or other, your sex assigned at birth, your physical attraction, your emotional attachments can all be separated. None of them are connected to one another. Okay? And this is not an education that they're using for kids who are in middle school or high school or kids that at least are trying to develop their brains, which they're really not developed at all. It's still underwhelming to the level that they need to be at. But having said that, this is being taught at kids at elementary level. Could you imagine? So then what happens is what? We find a lot of different things. For example, the gender unicorn, again, this is from the Trans Student Educational Resources. It teaches children that their feelings and behaviors are more important indicators of their identity than is their physical body. So they make them tell them that if you feel like you are a boy, even though you are physically a girl, or if you feel like you're a girl, even though you're physically a boy, that's who you really are. Okay? And they start to speak about this when they're very young. So they teach this again in lesson plans that teach grade school students to understand there are many ways to be a girl, boy, both or neither. Okay, elementary school. We find it suggests in another place, another program said that they want to introduce into libraries transgender themed children's books. I showed you all the ABCs and many other books, right? What does it mean to be a family? We saw this at the Lexington meeting that they had. They're teaching in second grade what it means to have a family. On the cover, they have a husband and a wife, a husband and a husband, and a wife and a wife. Right? They said that a family can be many different things. May Allah Azza wa Jalla protect us. Thereafter, we find many other things that are being taught. Again, pronoun play. You can you get to choose which pronouns work for you. All these different things. And so they induce a certain ideology, right? They just induce a certain behavior and a certain trend into kids, and it causes a lot of confusion. Okay, this is the main thing. Is it affirmation or is it confusion? Is it actually affirming something or is it confusing them because they already knew what they were? If it's to affirm, it means that I didn't know and now I know, right? To help you through the process. But if I already knew, if I already had an idea what it was, and then afterwards you confuse me, that's not affirmation, it's confusion. Does that make sense? So having said that, a lot of these kids, even in the Lexington meeting, I was very shocked when the lady set it up there. Because I have a background in psychology and all these different studies she puts up, I can see all of them being bogus and things that affects me in a different way than other people. But she said something which was really profound, in that little meeting. She said that the kids, when we speak to them and say, what is a boy, what is a girl? They come up with the general answers that everyone will give, what is a boy and what is a girl? Meaning, naturally speaking, and I've done this with Burlington kids, they know what a boy is and they know what a girl is, naturally. And they said, after that, we have to teach them that there are more ways to be a boy and more ways to be a girl. Right? And so, subhanAllah, what that means is Allah Azza wa Jal has made our fitrah, our natural way, that everyone knows what it is. And then what people have to do is indoctrinate and bring something on top of that. to fix you or correct you into the way that they want you to think. Okay. So having said that, there are a lot of different things. So this is one of their policies that they want to bring together. They want students to share showers, locker rooms, and restrooms with opposite sex. This is all again, there's a book called Navigating the Transgender Landscape. I have all the resources at the end, inshallah. Navigating the Transgender Landscape is a free download. I recommend everyone to get it. It teaches a lot of different things for parents, a lot of things for school administration, a lot of things for teachers, and various other things, very beneficial materials in there. These are some of the policies that the transgender community has suggested to schools that they should implement. Okay? So they said they should share showers, locker rooms, restrooms with opposite sex trans-identified students. Students are granted access to sports facilities and teams of the opposite sex based on gender identity rather than biological sex, so that a girl who identifies as a boy should play on the boys' team, and a boy who identifies as a girl should play on the girls' team. So even though his biology is much more, robust and stronger by its very nature, he still is allowed to play on the girls' team, right? And there's so many things we can get into that about. Students, teachers, and staff must use preferred pronouns instead of accurate sex-specific pronouns, and new names indicating a transgender identity, right? And so many other things are there. And so you misleading unscientific concepts like sex is merely assigned at birth. They keep saying it over and over and over again, and it's like a cat, scratching a chalkboard to me, this type of wording. But they kept saying sex is merely assigned at birth, and this is what they're teaching kids at such a young age as well. Okay, may Allah Azawajal protect. They have a whole model. They have a whole way of getting you to where they need to get you. So they start off with social transition. Social transitioning starts from toddlers, from young kids, as early as kindergarten and first grade, and it goes all the way up to their adults. So they'll tell the kid, even though the girl will start to play like how a boy will play, or the boy will start to play like how a girl will play, they'll say, keep adopting it, keep doing it, keep acting like that, right? Act more like a girl, act more like a boy. And so they start to transition him, social transition him to feel like he's a boy, to feel like he's a girl, and to make her feel like she's a boy, right? From the beginning, from that young age, they make them feel it's comfortable to be the boy, it's come to be a girl. Instead of just telling them that you're a girl that likes to do some, quote unquote boy things, and you're a boy that likes to do some quote unquote girly things. Instead of telling them that, they say, no, in reality, you're actually in the wrong body, right? And you should be changing for that. Social transitioning starts as early as you can see, from toddlers to adults. Then when the kid gets old enough, because they fall into a biological roadblock, which is called puberty, because puberty would define the boy or the girl to be a boy or a girl. So what happens is, in order to get rid of that roadblock, they put a puberty blocker. And so they say they put these hormones down and they put these blockers down. So that way, this person can start to say, you know what, we'll put a pause. They call it a pause button. A pause button on your puberty. So that way you could figure out who you really are. Okay? What would happen after puberty naturally for people? Would they figure out who they were? You would figure out who you were. I think after a while, these boys, after the boys just crack so many times in class, they realize, yeah, I am a boy. There's no other way around it, man. Sorry. Okay? The thing is that you recognize these things, right? The hair starts growing in weird places, all this weird stuff, right? The whole thing is that people should, as parents, we have a right and a responsibility, rather, to teach our kids the right way, to teach them the right and proper way, which is that this stuff is natural. Right? Like if a girl goes through her menstrual cycle, which is her first time ever going through it, right? She should be educated. This is unfortunately very lost in American culture. It has not been lost, alhamdulillah, in our cultures and communities, because this is part of fiqh, right? She can't even pray at that time. So she should be educated. Women should not be shy to teach other girls this, because they need to learn this stuff and feel comfortable. Like, mashallah, my wife used to tell me about her own family, that her aunts used to say when she started praying, right? And at that time, when she was just a young girl, they said that, oh, you're not supposed to pray at this time. And they told her it's natural for girls to go through this. She thought she was bleeding to death, right? Subhanallah, right? So many terrifying things happen. So we have to be aware of these things. So instead of dealing with it like the normal human way to deal with it, they do a very inorganic and automatic and robotic way of dealing with it. They manufacture a way, which is to block puberty. So that's from 9 to 11. Thereafter, at around the same time, they start giving cross-sex hormones. Cross-sex hormones, they pump estrogen into a boy, and they pump testosterone into a girl, okay? And thereafter, they go to sex reassignment surgery. So sometimes they'll do a top surgery, which is to get rid of the top parts for a girl, or they'll do bottom surgery, which is to remove the bottom parts for a man, right? And then what happens? Finally, your legal documents can change. Right, so they can now they can say who you are, right? Like one transgender person was so happy that on their ID it said their sex is X, right? Instead of saying XY, it's just X, right? Subhanallah, what a remarkable way, subhanallah. This is unfortunately what the process leads to, okay? And this is again in what are we talking about? Do you parents have a right to know in 168 districts governing over roughly around 5,900 schools nationwide have rules on the books that prevent faculty and staff from disclosing to parents a student's gender status without that student's permission. In other words, they can do all this stuff without you even knowing about it because you send them to that school and they have them for about 7 to 8 hours every day and they can do whatever they want. When the kid comes back home, you have no idea what's happening. Already we had such problems because we are so disconnected from our children. We don't know what relationships they're going through, what haram things that they're dealing with, and so many other issues. Now you have something piling on top of that. May Allah Azza wa Jalla protect us. We have to be people who are aware of what our kids are learning, okay? We have to be aware and ask them and speak to them and be open with them, right? The best parent is the parent who's a friend to his kids, right? So having said that, and even beyond that, like Dr. What's it, mom? Is there like a chat question? Just check. Okay. Believing that transition is the only solution, right? Please hold on. Okay, yeah, I'll do that, y'all. Don't worry. Okay. We're slowing down. This is the easy part, inshallah. She said what's on everyone's mind, okay? Dr. Lippmann discovered on the blogs, because what is inducing this behavior, induction or this process of moving our kids towards transgenderism is actually because of the phenomenon of social media, okay? The social media aspect is very large. A lot of these kids go online. A lot of these kids start to research and start to look up different YouTube videos, and they have a lot of different blogs. So in one of the blogs, for example, it says, and this is the thing, I'll show it later on, about the trend, about all these kids that are having these problems, roughly they all have the same trajectory. They go on YouTube, they go on Discord, they go on these different things, they look these things up, and the first advice they get is from a transgender person who says, if you feel like a boy, most likely you are a boy. Right? Instead of giving them some other, practical advice instead of that, right? So then they said that in one of these different blogs, Dr. Lippmann saw the proposed simple strategy is that because the transgender community would really push these kids to transition. So in order to transition them, what did they say to them? They say that you should go to the doctor and tell the doctor that you're about to kill yourself, about to commit suicide, about to harm yourself. And the only way to get it done is that you need to lie as fast as you can, lie as much as you can. So basically, go tell them if they need to hear this, this, and this for testosterone, then you tell them whatever they need to hear so you can get these things. So they'll lie to their parents and they'll lie to the doctor as well, okay? So this is the situation we're working with. Unfortunately, the situation all over across, could you click on the slide again? Across, the America is a very terrible and sad, you click that? Okay. It's very sad, okay? May Allah Azza wa Jalla again make it easy for all of us. But what are the facts? Because when we go there, we hear a lot of stuff, and a lot of stuff may feel like it is scientific or researched, but what do the facts actually say? Okay, let's look at it. So let's go through some quick facts, right? Number one, we're going to go through this one first, inshallah. Number one, it says science demonstrates that there are two sex chromosomes, two XX and XY in males, okay? Science demonstrates that there's XX and XY, okay? And in nearly every, not just the fact that you have genitalia or, organs that are male or female, okay? Not only in those things, not in just your sex cells. This is found in every cell of the human body, okay? All your cells, roughly all your cells, are considered either XX or XY, all right? So we find this, right? I also saw this, there's a book called The Gender Book. It's a type of resource that they give to teachers in order to be able to teach the stuff properly. And in there, they talked about intersex. They said that people who are basically in between, right? Between XX and XY, or they have an extra X or an extra Y and things like that, right? There are these types of people that have a little bit more than what normal people have, okay? They said this statistic is 1 in 100, right? Which is huge. What is 1 in 100? That means there's like 100 something here, people here, at least two of you guys are probably intersex, okay? I don't know who that going to be, okay? But it is what it is, right? So this is a Ajib thing, right? So when I looked at it, I was very shocked. So I looked up some other books on the topic, and they found that the research on this, right, is when they said that it was as common as red hair, these estimates are based on a single 2000 review paper, just a single paper that should never have passed peer review, because the study itself and the research was heavily tainted and misused, because they group together a whole bunch of people, okay? People that have sex changes or sex differences, right, between male and female, and people that don't have any differences whatsoever. So they said all these people together, no matter what situation, what circumstance it is, all of them need to be grouped together, okay? So when they redid the research, when they did the data again, they reran it, and they found that the percentage is not 1 in 100 or 1%. The percentage is not 1 in 100 or 1%. The percentage comes out to just, if you're looking at sex differences, right, 0.018%. 0.018%. That is 1 in 5, 5,500. Okay, it's unbelievably tiny compared to what they put up here. Okay, so now, mashallah, you guys are safe. Okay, alhamdulillah. All right. So, when we look at the idea of male and female brains, okay, this is the thing we need to understand. Your gender and your sex are not separate. Your sex and your gender are not separate. They are all based off your XX and XY that you are born with, that which is predetermined while you were inside the mother's womb. Okay. In reality, it is at conception. In reality, it's at conception. Because once the sex cells meet one another, already it start to be programmed to you to be a boy or to be a girl. Okay. That's why as a Canadian psychologist, when she put up a paper, are men's and women's brains really different? She said that the answer was self-evident. Of course. It would be amazing if men's and women's brains were not different, given the gross morphological, structural, and often striking behavioral difference between men and women. She said, obviously, they're different. There's no other way to think about it. Look how different men and women are. Okay. And so, what we find is it's because of these hormones called testosterone and estrogen. Now, you might be surprised because when does testosterone and what does estrogen start coming into the blood? Or come into the body, right? It does not come when you start being a baby, or when you hit puberty. It actually starts while you're still a fetus inside the mother's womb, okay? What are we looking at around 6 weeks? That sexual identity is finally determined when the male fetus develops the special cells which produce male hormones or androgens, the main one being testosterone. The thing that makes you a guy, your testosterone, is developed while you're still a fetus in the mother's womb, okay? Does that make sense? So then we find testosterone at this time, what is the level of it? 4 times the amount experienced through infancy and boyhood. Okay. They said it is like equivalent or equal to the amount of testosterone put into the body at the time of puberty. Then the same amount of puberty, that the hormone that you're feeling at that time that makes your voice crack and your hair grow in weird places and all this weird stuff that's going through you guys, right? That type of stuff is happening while, subhanAllah, that level, that amount is happening while the baby is still inside the mother's womb. You might be asking, why does he need that much testosterone? Because the more you pump testosterone to a guy, the more aggressive he becomes. Why is this being done to a baby or a fetus, rather, in the mother's womb? Because of this reason specifically, is because his brain is taking shape. Okay? The brain is taking shape, and the hormones have a big impact to play because the whole body needs to process this hormone. You need to understand this in a very simple way. Okay? You have a car, a beautiful car, mashallah. It is wonderful, alhamdulillah. Maybe it's a Mercedes, right? Or a Ferrari, fa'firu ilallah, right? You have a beautiful car, mashallah. What kind of gas does it run on? High octane. Oh, mashallah, the nitro. You push the button, right? Mashallah. It runs basically, yeah, right. On the regular. It runs on regular, right? What happens when you start pumping diesel into there? You ruin such a beautiful car. Why would you do that? Okay. Why did it get ruined? Because the body of the car was not designed to take in that gas. Okay. So similarly, your body was designed as a man to take in testosterone. And as a woman, you are designed to take in estrogen. The body has a process how to absorb it and put it into the system. So it cannot be developed later. It has to be developed right away, along with the stuff coming into the body. Does that make sense for everyone? This is why, as a boy, this is just how you are. And the stuff has been pumped in at that time. So your brain takes the same form and shape the way that a male brain would look, right? And the same thing for the female. Okay. And so this stuff is like so much, like, it affects so many things. Women are better at fighting bacteria, fungi, and parasites. That's why, mashallah, they're good with the toxicity of their husbands, right? MashaAllah, right? SubhanAllah, right? And 80% of autoimmune diseases are in women. Until menopause, women have a low risk of hypertension, cardiovascular disease. This stuff is researched and found that a woman by their gender is just incredibly lower than it is for men, right? And men, again, like they're more likely to survive severe burns, right? There's a specialty in medicine called gender-specific medicine, right? And we find even that, even the point that doctors are considering that when a woman needs a kidney transplant, she should not get it from a man. Because the XY that he has, the Y chromosome that he has, can actually interfere with the acceptance of the body to accept that new kidney. Okay? This is how deep it goes. And there's so much that can go towards. So much that even when you're having a little baby, and again, this stuff is interesting to me. Like, boys' faces, you'll see a boy, if you put like a mobile in his crib, He'll look at the mobile a lot. He likes items. He likes objects. He doesn't look at faces a lot. I was very sad when my son, Luth, is not looking at my face. And I felt very depressed for some time. Now, alhamdulillah, he's looking at me. It makes me a little happy, right? But like the thing is that he looked like he didn't even know me. I was like a stranger man to him. I was like, bro, you came from me, man. Like, just wanna, like, you know? But the thing is that, like, you see that a baby, as a boy, has more tendency to look at objects and things that move, okay? That's why, for example, they like racing cars and things like that. They'll look at these videos more often. Whereas a girl, she doesn't really look at the mobile so much. She looks at the faces that are people around her, right? She's more family or people oriented, right? And this stuff, again, is observable. It's there, okay? Since the 1990s, this stuff has become concrete within psychology. It's a reality. It's a reality, okay? And so many other things we can talk about. So there's so much that we can say. You know, again, you can look at so many different data behind it. So there is only two genders, X and Y, or sorry, XX or XY, okay? Male or female, okay? This is the first fact, number one. Don't let anyone else tell you anything else. The data does not support it. There is no data for it, okay? How could you ever prove someone who says that I feel like I'm a demon today, or a wolf today, or a kangaroo today? This is not, you can't, how do you prove that, right? Like, think about it. How do you objectively prove that? It's not possible. The second thing is the influence. When a teen announces their trans identity to their peer group, the number of friends who also became trans identified. So when one person says, I feel trans, the whole group, they say roughly 3.5 per group would also say we're also trans. Okay? So in other words, and it happens predominantly with amongst girls. Girls amongst their friend groups, when one of them declares that she feels that she's trans, all the other girls start to feel like this social experience. Abigail Shire called it a transgender craze. They feel this craze. So now they start to feel like, oh, we're transgender as well. Okay? And this is something really interesting. So when Dr. Lippman did her research, when she interviewed roughly 256 parents, she interviewed about 256 parents who were going through their girls suddenly experiencing gender dysphoria, which is the idea that you're not in the right body. She interviewed 256 of these parents, and they said clusters of gender dysphoria outbreaks occurring in pre-existing friend groups, coupled with immersion in social media. Number one is that they're immersed in social media. Number two is binge watching YouTube transition videos and excessive use of Tumblr, right? This type of gender dysphoria was novel, Lippman wrote, inconsistent with existing literature. Now you'd expect when a kid is having this type of problem, and also when you expect that a kid is having this type of problem, along with that, these kids that were screened, again, Dr. Lippman did the screening. She saw all these kids had some type of psychiatric disorders. Each one of them had something that was wrong, or some type of trauma that occurred when they were young. You know, may Allah protect, but rape and things like that that happened to these girls when they were younger. And so these types of things were there. So, you know, you would expect that a psychiatrist, when you go in to speak to a therapist, you know, you would think that they would ask you, like, did you go through any type of trauma or things like that? She said when what happened is the therapists weren't really interested in hearing that the kid had a mental history, or that the kid had experienced rape recently, and that this gender dysphoria only came right after. The clinicians basically said, get on board the transition or otherwise you're transphobic. In other words, the therapist that was supposed to help the patient is actually helping the ideology, right? The therapist that you sent your children to so that way they can be helped with a certain psychological problem they had actually made them into a bigger problem and tried to aid the transgender ideology. May Allah Azza wa Jalla save us and protect us. So having said that, that's fact number two. There is a big social influence. That big numbers that we saw, 3,500%, 4,400% in another study, different percentages that we see, this huge jump is because precisely because the same time social media got its craze on, the same time transgender craze also started to increase at the same time. Okay? Then we find that in, we talked about this gender identity confusion, 2,000%. There's also very interesting fact number four. If you left a kid to just grow up normally, right? Even if they were confused when they were younger, 61 to 98% of children who struggle with their sex as a boy or girl come to accept their sex by adulthood. Meaning that the majority of kids, if they're just left alone without any social media interference, will grow up to just accept who they were when they were born, same exact sex, okay? If not subjected to chemical or surgical interventions or social transition, right? There's also discussion about autism there as well. And so it's shown by the 11 studies over 4 decades. This is another thing the lady said. She said about 50 years of research have shown. She said 50 years of research. I remember it. 50 years of research has demonstrated that this stuff works. I said, what studies is she talking about? What studies are you talking about? 11 studies over 4 decades have shown the majority of patients have become comfortable with the biological sex by puberty or young adulthood. This is the major studies, longitudinal studies, long-term studies that we have. from four decades ago, 40 years of time, what we find is that people actually adjust back to the norm. Okay, this is the norm. This is the norm. So having said that, I was very shocked when I heard that. It is what it is, right? So in any case, suicide also 20 times more likely to die from suicide than the general population after gender transition surgery. 20 times more likely. Sterility, becoming sterile. When kids use these drugs, their puberty will actually go on pause and they'll pause permanently. It's a permanent pause. There's no way to press play on it again. It will never come back. They'll become sterile, meaning they'll not be able to have kids anymore. Okay? Surgery as well. It's been done at even as young as 18, 13 years old, boys as young as 17. There's long-term effects of these things that have not been studied yet. It's all new stuff, okay? You and I are the test subjects, the guinea pigs for these things. And unfortunately, it's the reality that this society right now, all the kids that are growing up right now are just becoming the experimental subjects on the largest scale you could ever imagine for this type of horrendous ideology, okay? And the different hormones as well. So now there's a question people ask: is there a female brain inside a male body? Is that why a person feels that I'm a girl actually because my brain is a girl? And therefore, I was in the wrong, like the brain was actually put into the wrong one, like a Frankenstein type of thing. You took like the wrong brain, put it into the wrong monster type of thing, right? Like she was supposed to be an innocent, beautiful girl, and then she became a horrible monster boy. Like, how did that happen, right? SubhanAllah. Sometimes. Okay. So here's the data and here's the research behind it. Okay. As we see, indeed, the most significant neurological characteristics that are sexed, meaning that which makes you a boy, a man, or a woman, show no divergences to speak of between transgender individuals and non-transgender members of their native sex. In other words, whether you transition out of being a man, and when you compare them to a regular man, the man who transitioned and the man who's regular, their brains are basically the same. Okay? This has been shown in many different studies here. They show that the main morphological parameters of the brain, meaning that the markers of the brain that are there are congruent with their natal sex, the normal sex in untreated homosexual M2F, meaning males that transition to females. In other words, that there is no such thing as a female brain inside a male body. What the heck does that even mean? I just told you in the beginning, when you start pumping in testosterone, you need the right car to drive it. And so it's not going to even work properly, it won't function properly, okay? So having said that, there is no such thing as that, right? Again, it's not possible because, again, sex is not defined by the brain. Sex is because of your sex cells. You either produce one or you produce the other, okay? And that makes you XX or XY. And that goes all the way down to every single cell of your body. They all contain that DNA. It's not because of what you produce or your genitalia. It's because of the cells that make up who you are, okay? Having said that, they always bring up the suicide. This one kid had that thing, he spoke, or she, I don't know. Okay, like, so like they spoke and they said, like you're helping your kids go towards suicide and killing themselves. Okay, so let's look at the data. Let's look at what's actually there. What about suicide? What about suicide is this? Is that kids that we're looking at the country, the LGBT affirming country of Sweden, medical transitioning does not prevent suicide. The study found that an average of 10 years after gender transition surgery, trans identified people were nearly 5 times more likely to attempt suicide and 19 times more likely to commit suicide than the general population. Meaning the surgery that they took to fix the problem did not fix the problem, actually made it worse. It actually made it worse. Okay. And this is shown in many different places. The longest term studies, if you're looking at short term, this is what happens. Anyone can make a YouTube video about anything. Anyone can make a YouTube video about anything. This is why I caution kids and make them very careful. You know, unfortunately, we're in a zamana, a time where the expert talking on Twitter and the idiot talking on Twitter, their voices are exactly the same. You can never tell who's the alim and who's the jahil anymore, right? And this is the thing. Even on YouTube, someone's just talking, yeah, it feels great, it feels wonderful. This could feel good short term. Right, but what about long term? The longest term studies show that there's little or no benefit at all. Okay, and they found that the gender affirming hormones intervention did not reduce the need for mental health services. They're still having mental problems even after their transition. Okay, and then we find even when we find different psychiatrists like Seven Roman from Sweden, there's currently no scientific support for gender corrective treatment to reduce the risk of suicide. It's not been proven clinically at all, or demonstrated. We find another psychologist saying the same thing. There's no persuasive evidence that gender transition reduces gender dysphoric children's likelihood of killing themselves. Okay? We don't find this data here. It's not there. It's crazy because the same therapy that they'll give to a kid who has these types of psychological problems and the transgender guy, like the kid who actually had some trauma and they're having some suicidal thoughts, they'll give the same treatment to him and the transgender kid. In other words, as if even being transgender or transitioning was not even needed, because at the end of the day, the psychologist and psychiatrist will deal with you in the same exact way. Okay? So having said that, there are many different things. Puberty blockers may actually cause depression, and we'll get there, inshallah ta'ala. And then suicide, and this is the biggest thing. This is why we don't talk about this issue so much. Okay? Suicide is susceptible to social contagion. Meaning when given excessive focus, vulnerable kids are more likely to seek to attempt it. Okay? This is why the deen of Islam doesn't really focus on haram to talk about it very openly in front of people. Why? What happens when you talk about haram so much? You guys know about the DARE program? Anyone know about the DARE program? What is the DARE program? Drugs, right? They teach you about drugs, right? Do you know how much of a failure that program was? Why they don't implement it anymore? Because they started teaching kids about drugs, so what the kids want to do. Right? So the thing is that if you keep talking about it, then kids start feeling it. So they have this self-fulfilling prophecy. It just comes to reality because you just kept talking about it so much. This is the sad part about this thing. You keep talking about it, talking about it. What do kids think they're going to do then? Right? May Allah Azza just save all of us. But the thing is that you just, that's why we don't talk about these things. That's why myself, again, I don't like to talk about this. I never even mention these types of things in front of people because it's very sad. Right? Isn't it sad to even have this conversation? But we need to have it. It is what it is. May Allah make it easy for everyone. Having said that, so now they tell you this part, and I hated this one the most, man. This girl made me, the boy, I don't know again. They said that you have to choose between a living boy or a dead daughter. You have to choose between a living boy and a dead daughter. Okay? I hear this, right? And I don't need research to debunk this. Right? I just use my brain. Because my brain tells me that if you have to, if anything makes you want to take your own life, this is a sign of a psychological problem. Okay? Does that make sense? If there's anything in life that makes you feel like you have to kill yourself for it, that's not something that tells me I should give it to you. That tells me you have a psychological problem that needs to be addressed. Okay? And you know, subhanAllah, we just looked at the data that shows suicide. Actually, the dead girl, dead daughter, whatever, you're still gonna have a dead boy at the end. You know, you're more likely to have a dead boy at the end too. So why would a person even go towards this type of thing? Right? It's not gonna help. It's actually gonna make the problem even worse. So I want everyone to remember that, inshallah. This is why, and this is the thing, don't buy into the US's, America's narrative about this. Because the whole world is dealing with this challenge altogether. So we find European nations adopt a more cautious approach to gender-affirming care among minors. Okay? What kind of approach? They've actually said these European countries like Finland, Sweden, and the UK, they conducted systematic reviews of evidence. They saw all the stuff together. And they saw that there is very low certainty that hormonal interventions for adolescents will actually bring some benefit. Okay. So they put severe restrictions on hormones access to these kids. Okay. And they saw that these interventions are still in an experimental phase. The stuff is not verified. Okay. I want you to know that in terms of being more gender neutral or gender accepting or gender equal, these are the countries, Sweden, Finland, etc., that are being praised for this. And they are putting stops to this type of thing, okay? They said there's no medical consensus for the use of pharmaceutical and surgical interventions in gender dysphoric minors. There's something they kept pushing like fact. And I was so upset about it. I said, there is no consensus. Stop saying it's a consensus. In reality, we don't know what these things will do because we don't have any studies to demonstrate it yet. Because no one has shown how it's been done when you teach this to kids at such a young age. It hasn't been demonstrated yet. Okay, so there are many other things again we can discuss about this type of what happens in the European countries. And so they said in one of these pages, I think it was from Finland, we know far less about young people who experience the first signs of gender incongruence during adolescence, and no longitudinal data are available. We have nothing to go after. So that's why they said they put a pause on this stuff. And thank Allah Azza wa Jal. Okay, even though they told you in America, they tell you if you don't let the kid get treated, he will kill himself. Okay, these countries have stopped this for about five, six years now, and alhamdulillah, the suicide rates have not increased. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. What I'm trying to tell everyone is that basically, this stuff, when they tell you that these kids need it, it's life saving. In reality, it's not going to change anything of their life, it perhaps make it even worse. Okay, so this is why we find you can click play. I think I'll bring it here. You can play. Can you put on the sound? Does it work? Oh, it's not working. That's fine. Dr. Miriam, it doesn't work. Does it work? Oh, okay. Can I try again? No, the other way. Right here. No, it doesn't work, right? That's fine. There's a probably in the more, if you click more, the sound. Click more. Go to sound. Share sound. No. There you go. Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah.
Same reason those seven countries are. There is no evidence of long-term benefit, but there is evidence of harm. I'll end by quoting Jamie Reed, the courageous whistleblower from the Children's Gender Clinic in St. Louis. I believe that that hospital receives the medical education funding that we're discussing today. She said that doctors at that clinic said, "We are building the plane while we are flying it. We are building the plane while we are flying it." That's how they described the treatment at their gender clinic. Our precious.
Unbelievable, right? Dr. Miriam Grossman has like over 40 years of experience in psychiatry and dealing with children's psychology. She's like one of the foremost pioneers in this type of effort. Like, she's really amazing in this, really. But having said that, like, she was put on panel to speak about this type of stuff that's happening, and she was just like, really debunking everything that was there. Okay, I just told you, it's like as if they're building the plane while flying it, right? Because they don't know what's happening at all. Okay, this is the type of stuff that they're teaching kids as scientific and biological fact in schools. Okay, this is what they bring to you in Lexington. This is what they're bringing you to in Burlington. Every single place they're teaching this to kids, whether you opt in or opt out. This was being taught. Okay, and this is why I stress to people, and I'm gonna mention at the end again as a reminder. But this is not just okay, I just opt out my kid and that's enough. That's not what a Muslim should do. Right, because what did you do? You left everyone else to die and get killed by this virus and this poison, and that's not what a Muslim does. A Muslim always tries to make better of the situation, not just save their own selves, right? So keeping that in mind, inshallah, let's think about it together. Okay, let's just do a quick experiment, right? So this is the thing, right? So if I ever have a conversation with these people, this is how it usually goes. Okay, can a man become a woman? Can a woman become a man? What would they say? Yeah, they'll say yeah, right? They'll say yeah. Okay, yes, right? Okay, what is a man? Okay, you can follow this line of reasoning too. I challenge, just go ahead, have fun, enjoy it. Okay, what? No, I mean, you guys know, but like, if you were to ask them, what is a man? It'd be a very little, whatever you feel. Okay, right. So if we look it up in the dictionary, we'll find that it's adult male human being. Okay, adult male human being. It's still there. Right. So I decided, I was like, oh, that's interesting. Let me look up what is a male. Watch this. Belonging or relating to men. Okay, so let's just rewind that 1 second. Okay, so I looked up male, a man, and said that you are a adult male, and I looked up male, it said you are a man. So do we know what either one is yet? No. There's a type of circular definition. Okay, so I did the same thing. What is a woman? All right, let's do it again. Woman, adult female human being. Guess what I did next? I looked up female. Okay, I found being a woman or girl. It's pretty funny, right? So then, this is what it leads us in being a woman or a girl, right? A woman is a female, and a female is a woman. Okay? I don't know. I don't know. Like, how do you become something you don't know what it is? You get it? Like, my main thing is that if you say you want to be a man, what is a man? Tell me what a man is. Okay? Let's talk about it. What is a man? What is a woman? If you want to become it, you should at least know what you're getting into here, right? If I want to become a doctor, I can know what a doctor has to know. If I want to become an engineer, I should know, right? Give me what it means to be a man. It's really hard for them because when they start speaking about it, it gets a little sexist and stereotypical. A lot of different things come out, right? And whatever you feel like, right? So in any case, let's go through what is the difference between a man and a woman, right? Because I'll ask them, if you want to change from being a woman or a man, or a man or a woman, right? You want to change. I'll ask you very nicely, what is the difference between them? So that way I can justify your change, right? If you're going to change from this, you want to change majors, right? So you want to go from engineering to like, or like for me, it was like I was an engineer, then became psychologist and became crazy, right? So like, I had to, I know what I'm changing into, right? So then what is the difference between a man and a woman then? Right? So if they say they're the same, right? Because they'll say a man and woman are the same, right? Because in reality it's all just fluff and extra stuff, however you feel. I'll say, then why do you need to change anything about yourself? If a man and woman are the same, there's no need to change. You can still be you. You don't have to touch your body or touch hormones or anything, right? You can just still be you, right? There's no reason to change. Right? So then maybe they'll say they're different. I'll ask what's different about them. Right? If they're the same, you don't have to change. If they're different, is it biologically different or socially different? Okay. Is it biological difference, meaning in the body, or is it social, meaning the way you act? Okay. So if they say it's socially different, then I'll say, why do you have to change your organs then? If it's social, meaning the way you act, can't you just change the way you act as whatever and not take any hormones or anything like that? You just have to act like a man, right? If you just want to play football, we'll try to put you on the team, probably crush you, but it's okay. We'll have fun. Okay. You know, the thing is that if you just have to act differently, then you don't have to touch yourself biologically. Okay. You can do manly things as a woman and you can do girly things as a man. You don't really have to quote unquote change, right? All right. My man here, my Velociraptor guy here, he tells us if genitalia don't define sex, if genitals don't define sex, then how does altering them affirm it? All right. If changing it, if it doesn't define who you are to have this part or that part, why does changing it now suddenly make you a man or make you a woman? Right? Very contradictory stuff. Right? And if it's biologically different, if you and I are saying the differences are biological, I would say that no level of changing your body will make up for that difference, no matter what. Because why? Because being a man is not, again, in your genitalia, your body parts, your organs, or whatever. Being a man is in every cell of your body. Okay? And that is, logically speaking, you could never change that. Because why? The cold biological truth is that sex changes are impossible. Every single cell of the human body remains coded with one's birth gender for life. So intersex ambiguities can occur, but they are developmental anomalies that represent a tiny proportion of all human births, right? So in other words, you can't change yourself at all. So in other words, if there's no difference between men and women, they're the same, you don't have to change. If it's socially different, right? Do you have to take hormones and stuff? No, right? And if it's biological, should you change? You can't even change at all. So all these three things tell me there's no need to change anywhere. So why are we even doing this? Why are we wasting our time, right? Why do the hormones and stuff have to play a part when you just told me men and women are exactly the same, right? There's no reason to do it. That's all, again, my logical perspective on this issue, okay? The medical complications, inshallah. Jazakallah khairan. Again, I asked you all for an hour, inshallah. We'll get done within an hour. This is the last part, inshallah ta'ala, before we kind of sum it up for what parents need to do. And I just want to mention this stuff. It is going to get a little bit sad and explicit. So I do want to prepare everyone mentally, inshallah ta'ala. Medical complications of these surgeries, of these different treatments and things like that, you need to know because they keep telling you to do puberty blockers or cross-sex hormone changes or sex reassignment and all this stuff without telling you what are the problems in between. So let's start off with puberty blockers, okay? What does it mean to block puberty again? They say you put the pause button on it. What happens, right? This is not FDA approved. These puberty blockers have not been FDA approved. Whenever a physician gives it, it's off label, meaning they can give it, but they can't market it, okay? They have not been FDA approved for kids to be used on children or adolescents because it's not, like when you're looking at it, right? So she's looking. What happens when you stop puberty? Okay, the sex organs that a person has do not develop properly, and the sex cells that a person have do not develop properly, right? The body mass that a man was supposed to have does not happen, and the way a woman is supposed to look does not happen anymore. Okay, so a woman is supposed to start menstruating, right? She's supposed to start producing eggs and things like that. Okay, when you put a pause on puberty, what happens is the body loses that precious time to make these things happen. Okay, so when you put a pause on it, there's no way to press play anymore. So what happens is infertility is therefore one of the major side effects of puberty suppression. In other words, the kid can never have kids anymore. And so, Muslim Muhammad, we find, wait, real quick, okay. We find the British National Health Service, the NHS, has retracted the claim that puberty blockers are fully reversible and now acknowledges that it could have long-term consequences for children's brains, bones, and mental health. Okay, so in other words, they themselves, when they used to promote this stuff in the UK, they recognize that this is a problem and they actually put a pause on this to give it to adolescents. Okay, we look at cross-sex hormones. So puberty blockers will make a kid again, it will sterilize this kid. It will sterilize this kid. What do cross-sex hormones do? There's so much that can be said about it. When it comes to a man, right, when you're putting in estrogen, okay, the transsexual woman, they said that the rates of VTE, was venous thromboembolism, which is the form of blood clots, blood clotting in the body, right? When it comes to transsexual women, we're nearly twice as high as those from cisgender men and women. I mean, normal men and women, a transgender person who transitioned to be a female, their body produces twice as much blood clots as normal, okay? And the rate of heart attack was 90, 80 to 90% higher than when it comes to women and found in men as well. And even strokes were found to be an increase as well. Right, what else do we find? Allahumma salli Muhammad. Let me read this out for you. Okay. When it comes to men being put on estrogen, higher developing VTE, cardiovascular disease, weight gain, high blood fat levels, blood pressure, decreased glucose tolerance, gallbladder disease, and breast cancer as well. Okay. When we look at the girl, on the flip, we looked at the man who saw many problems. Look at the girl. Higher risk for elevated blood cholesterol levels, liver damage, increased blood viscosity, red cell count, an increased risk of sleep apnea, insulin resistance, diabetes, and unknown effects on breast, urine, ovarian tissues. Okay, this is what's happening when you're putting in the wrong type of hormone. When you pump again estrogen into a man, he wasn't meant to absorb it, and similarly, a girl was not meant to absorb testosterone on those levels. Okay, and so it mentions that even for a girl, early menopause could occur in adult women. Okay, early menopause will take up years from her lifespan. So she'll become someone who's infertile, sterile, not able to bear children anymore. She'll go through menopause, meaning her body will completely shut down any ability, opportunity to have children anymore. Okay, we find that sterilization is not just an unfortunate and unintended result of gender-affirming procedures. It is a direct violation of a child's human right to one day choose to procreate. What we've done is we've medically castrated our own kids. We've done castration to our own kids. We have made them people that can never bear children anymore. And there's no way to give them that ability again. If they one day in their minds, they say, and I say it to everyone, you'll one day want to have kids. It's just a natural reality. Because you realize that the people I can impact and affect the most are my own children. And you want to leave something behind before you go. That feeling when it comes to you, if this has happened, may Allah Azza wa Jalla protect, but you'll never get an opportunity to do so. Okay? So we find a lot of this stuff, you know, mashallah, you know, we can talk about that another time. Are puberty blockers and hormones reversible? No, they're not. They have been not shown anything that shows they're reversible, okay? And so it shows children who use cross-sex hormones after the natural puberty had been blocked will be sterilized. Surgery to remove the testicles or ovaries will render them permanently sterile and not be reversible. This is what it is, okay? So we find that, you know, Ajib, again, it's not a pause button. It is a permanent way of removing this kid's natural ability to have children, okay? What about sex reassignment? To take a person and make them from a man to a woman, a woman to a man. What we find here is the study found that for sexually assigned in transsexual individuals, after they transition to becoming a man he transitions to become a woman, right? What we find is there's substantially higher rates of overall mortality, death from cardiovascular disease, and suicide attempts, and psychiatric hospitalizations. In other words, the stuff that is supposed to treat is not treating it anymore, right? It's very sad. Okay, and this is done with a number of people, right? A study of 123 people found that 62% and 55% suffer from depression, while 32% of each population had attempted suicide. Okay, so this has been recorded and evidenced. We find other studies as well. And the biggest thing is trans regret, that a person will think that I made a mistake later on. Okay, and there are so many stories I can refer to. There's a nice page on, you can look it up, called Sex Change Regret, made by one of these people that detransitioned, and he's collecting and compiling a lot of stories to help kids not fall into the same trap he did. Okay, and so I'll read you just one of those stories. There are so many here, and I wish, you know, I wish we can go through each one, but one of them is enough for us. Let's just find this one. It was apparent that I had developed a dissociative disorder in childhood to escape the trauma of the repeated cross-dressing by my grandmother and the sexual abuse by my uncle. That should have been diagnosed and treated with psychotherapy, right? He said, I was physically abused and I should have been treated with psychotherapy. Instead, the gender specialist never considered my difficult childhood or even my alcoholism and only saw my transgender identity. Coming back to wholeness as a man after undergoing unnecessary gender surgery and living life legally and socially as a woman for years wasn't going to be easy. So he detransitions back. I had to admit to myself that going to a transgender specialist when I first had issues had been a big mistake. I had to live with the reality that body parts were gone. My full genitalia could not be restored. And the sad consequence of using surgery to treat a psychological illness. Okay? There are so many stories like this. So many stories. And I recommend you read some and kind of remind yourself about this. On the flip, Dr. Miriam Grossman has a kid that comes in. Her name is Rosa. She's also having these transgender problems, right? So then she goes through some intense therapy. They go through a lot of discussions and conversations. The parents shut off the Wi-Fi at home. They basically take her off of all social media. For 1 year, she went through this. Now, alhamdulillah, she used to have these feelings of being a man, a boy. Now, alhamdulillah, after 1 year, she feels normal again. She's acting like a normal girl, right? So this is possible. It can be treated. It can be dealt with. But you cannot just, you know, you can't encourage a child to go after whatever the child desires. Because children will always desire things that are not good for them. This kid will always want ice cream and candy. If I were to shove ice cream in a can and give him everything he wants, I'll be a terrible parent. I'll be a terrible parent because that is not the right thing to do, even though that's what my child wants. He's not old enough to make the decisions on his own. He barely can go to the bathroom himself. And yeah, I'm telling him to choose his own gender. Unbelievable. Okay. Will the child grow out of gender dysphoria? Yes. Okay. About 11, again, the 11 published studies I talked about before have shown that this stuff will be naturally grown out of it. Okay. There are huge numbers here. 75, 88%, 100%, 96%. These different studies have been shown, proven that these kids will grow out of it. You just have to give them time. They will adjust. Okay. Puberty is terrible. Puberty sucks. Okay. It's a horrible time. Okay. Right. For boys, I still remember the time when my voice cracked in class and it's been the most, when they asked me what was my name, I said Shakiler. Right. And that was it. That was it. Like, it was sad and it was traumatic and I remember it. Okay. So it happens, but you got to get used to it, right? And that's why I tell all these middle school kids, make sure you carry deodorant, okay? Right? Right? So, okay. Gender affirmation in reality leads to gender confusion, okay? My last 10 minutes with everyone, inshallah ta'ala, I just want to talk about the happiness part, okay? The happiness and the rainbow, okay? This is the thing. As you saw, as we talked about after this, such a long program, what can you do if a person's still not happy, right? Because it seems like it's not giving them the happiness that they wanted, right? That it seems like what they tried to tell you was, uh-oh. Can you get the bag? Rehan, get the bag. Oh, we have it? I'm sorry. Rehan, you're fine. Zakla. Zakla, have yourself. Sorry about that. What can you do if a person's not happy still? Okay. This is what they try to tell people. They said that you'll only be happy if you get to pursue whatever actual sex or gender you really are. Is true happiness in pursuing your sexuality? I want to ask everyone. That if it, is it the truth that if a person just goes around and commits zina, as much zina as they want, will that actually make them happy? Right? Will Ya'adhu Allah protect us from seeing haram images and things and pornography and things like that? But people are not happy from this stuff. It doesn't help you. It's not actually what people need, okay? And in reality, is true happiness in pursuing your desires? Is that why we were created? Is that why we were made to pursue our desires, our hawa, our ahwa? No, okay? And this is why I want to remind everyone. This is why I think it's such a beautiful metaphor. Whatever they give me, whether it be a gingerbread man or a unicorn or a rainbow is such a beautiful analogy for what these people really are. Because a rainbow is not real. What is a rainbow? It's a reflection of light, right? A pure white light that comes. They reflect it and distort it and bend it, right? And it becomes something completely what it wasn't originally, okay? And the rainbow does not, in fact, exist. It's actually fake, okay? It's actually an optical illusion. It doesn't exist in reality. It's still that one white light, pure light, right? And I find this to be such a beautiful analogy to what LGBT, what they're trying to push to people. Because that, in fact, that rainbow is a complete lie. There's no way it's going to give you happiness or whatever you wanted. It's actually an optical illusion. You're not seeing something for what it really is, okay? This is why it's beautiful what it says. And a rainbow is a good analogy for distortion. It's all distortion here. What is the reality? What do we understand as Muslims? As Muslims, we understand, Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. If you want contentment, you want to be happy. There's no other treatment or no other medicine, no other thing that you can take. No injection, nothing. The only thing you need is what? Allah bi dhikrillah. Allah says, listen to this. Take this. That the only way is the remembrance of Allah. That when through the remembrance, the dhikr of Allah, you will find happiness. And this is the sad part about this, right? That no one can be 100% happy here. I ask you all, are you guys 100% happy? Some days are good, sometimes they're bad, right? Sometimes my wife yells at me. She yelled at me before I came here. It made me a little sad, you know? It is what it is, right? You gotta deal with it, right? SubhanAllah, no one can be 100% happy here. No, did we come into this world to be happy? No one from the beginning of time here has ever been happy 100%. This is absolutely an impossible goal, okay? You're never gonna be 100% happy here, but inshallah, you can learn to ride the waves. Right, the difficulties that come, you and I have hardships, but we know who to turn to. Who do we turn to when we go through difficulty? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learn to deal with it, right? This is what we need to teach kids. Bullying, we try to reduce as much as we can, but you cannot control where your kid's gonna go, right? Your kid, you can never control fully where he's gonna go. He might see a beautiful girl, they might see a nice boy, right? They might see this, they might see that, right? They might see all these things. You have to train and teach your kids how to deal with this in the right way, okay? You're not gonna be there the whole time in school. You have to recognize that, to learn, teach them how to ride the waves properly. And so Allah Azza wa Jal said there are two genders. Allah Azza wa Jal said there's no relationships outside of marriage. All relationships, intimate relationships outside of marriage are haram, right? And that people are evaluated in Islam by their obedience to Allah, not their gender or race, right? This is what we know, that in Islam, as long as you obey Allah Ta'ala, and whatever gender He gave you obey Allah Ta'ala, you can find, inshallah ta'ala, what Allah says in the Quran, Allah, inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. that the noblest and most kareem, the most beautiful people from you all in front of Allah Ta'ala, atqakum, are the ones who have piety. A man could be superior, a woman could be superior. It all depends on how righteous you are before Allah Ta'ala. That's what it is, right? What we find is what? Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ. Don't become like those who forgot Allah. When they forgot Allah, فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Allah made them forget about themselves. This is what happened here. These people forgot about Allah Ta'ala completely. So now they look at the mirror and can't even tell if they're a boy or girl anymore. This is what's happened now. We find this in the Quran. Sadaqallah, Allah just spoke the truth. And Allah Azza wa Jalla gives us a reminder. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Say to my slaves who have wronged themselves, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Don't ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah. If you come from any place, right? You committed sin after sin after sin, mistake after mistake after mistake. You come back to Allah Ta'ala today and right now at this moment, make tawbah from your heart. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, don't lose hope in my mercy. Allah forgives all sins. Okay? So may Allah Ta'ala grant us that inshallah Ta'ala, right? What can you do? This is why I want to remind everyone. Okay? This is your constitutional right. Don't let anyone deprive you of it. Okay? This is your 14th Amendment. Right, you have as a parent the constitutionally guaranteed rights to oversee your children's education, upbringing, and medical, mental health decision making. This is part of your constitutional right. Where is it found? In the Due Process Clause. The 14th Amendment protects a parent's right to direct the educational upbringing of their child. This is my advice to the Lexington community that came today. You need to start pushing what your rights are by the federal law that is available to you. Okay, one second, Shelter. Okay, what we find is the Supreme Court ruled that, sorry, Muhammad. The court ruled that a state statute that required Amish people, because they started to force Amish children to go in, right, after eighth grade. But this violated their religious beliefs about what kids should be educated with. So then they fought this in court, and they actually won their religious right, okay? You can fight these things, and you say you don't agree with these things, okay? And there's a lot of details that are there for you. I recommend you again to navigating the transgender landscape. It has a wonderful, wonderful section about parents' rights and what they can do and what they can approach for schools, okay? And so what you have is you always have exceptions. You know, all states currently have exceptions in their state. Compulsory attendance statutes that require students of certain ages to attend school. What that means is that every state has a certain age where a kid doesn't have to attend school anymore, okay? They have this because they understood that certain people will want to pull out their children early, okay? And they always had, mashallah, private schools, religious schools, and homeschooling to meet the compulsory attendance requirements. You always have that right, and I recommend this. If you show such an outrage, and you show them, you demonstrate it, look, homeschooling is not a bad option. We've been homeschooling kids for such a long time. And our mother, mashallah, one of the goals is alhamdulillah to get kids out of the public school system. The kids are fine. We went through for eighth, seventh grade with some of them, been to eighth grade, and all the other kids have been homeschooling for such a long time. It's been fine, mashallah. It's okay. You can do it, inshallah ta'ala. You make a demonstration. Look, if you're not going to teach my kid, then forget it. I don't want my kid here the way he's supposed to. Because why? You didn't even give me an opt-out. Could you imagine that? You are basically saying you have no choice. Right? You can either send your kid here or homeschool them. Could you imagine? That's not a choice whatsoever. So you need to push this before them, inshallah ta'ala. The other thing you have is Title IX. Title IX, when it talked about the state-related laws, it was a diversity and inclusion policy. So it was goal was to include like genders, the two genders, just two. And it was talking about race and different things, Title IX, okay? They tried in 2017 to put gender identity in there to say that, you know, you have to include all genders, not just the two that are actually there, okay? So what happened is they discussed it to do it. It was rescinded in 2017, all right? They did not put it in there. So even within Title IX, sex means it means biological sex as historically medically defined. So again, the laws as itself, federally speaking, are in your favor, okay? Title IX schools need, if they want to get federal grants and federal funding, they need that they accommodate any against any gender discrimination, etc. So this is also there for you, okay? Know what's going on in school. Unfortunately, today, we are a little bit behind the ball, okay? Very much. The ball is not in our court anymore. In reality, we've lost this a long time ago. We should have been talking about this 5, 6 years ago when the stuff really started to come out. And we could have dealt it, nipped it in the bud before. Now we're at where we're at. This is what it is. Because we weren't aware, we weren't attentive to this. And I want to remind every parent, look, this is the thing here. Okay, Allahumma salli Muhammad. This is also another thing that frustrated me. State sunshine laws. These are laws that require open meetings. With anything the school will teach, parents must be aware and informed of it. Okay, they basically did this during COVID time when people weren't even at home, like, you know, people weren't even available at that time to actually be there. And they basically put this in, and transgender activists actually encouraged that schools actually implement this. This is against the law. This is illegal to do. Okay, I want you, inshallah, to remember this and get an attorney and get this stuff put down in a legal process, right? put it down to books, put it down to paper, and actually start to sue things. Because why? Because that's the only way this country takes anything seriously. When people start to sue people, that's when you start taking it seriously. I tell you, inshallah, to make a legal case out of it. Get an attorney and put this all together, inshallah ta'ala. Show your outrage, show your frustration that this is not the way this country was designed. This is not how it is federally speaking. You're going against the law here. You didn't give us even an opt-out. Could you imagine? Again, what I showed you is parents have to sign off on what they're being taught. And if you don't give me a sign off, you're doing something illegal. Okay? So you have to use these things, inshallah ta'ala. Right? Your children have a right to education, not indoctrination. And not ideological battleground. They didn't go to school to become, you know, a Republican or a Democrat. They came to school to learn education, right? They did not learn to come to learn politics, right? Your children have a right to religion. They have the right to be to their freedom of their religion. Could you imagine my son having to change in a locker room with a girl that thinks that she's a boy, right? Or could you imagine that your daughter, if she had to go and change before gym class, that a boy walks into her locker room? Could you imagine that situation for your kids? SubhanAllah, take this seriously. Take this seriously. Don't leave here without being frustrated. Because how could this happen to our kids? Right underneath our very noses, subhanAllah. This is not okay. Having said that, your children have a right to free speech. No one should control it. I don't know. I can't tell you how arrogant it is that you're telling me in the third person to address you by a pronoun. I'm sorry, that is extremely arrogant to me. Right? Imagine I tell you my pronouns today were thou and thine, your majesty. Right? And third person pronouns, right? Because when you talk to me, you're going to say you, right? You're not going to say he. You're going to say you. Third person is he, she, right? And the third person means I'm not there. So whenever I'm not there, you're supposed to speak about me how, you know, Dai and Dao and Hazrat and Molana, right? SubhanAllah, like Ajib, it's extremely, kids have a right to free speech. You can't control my speech. If you want to speak about whoever you are and the way you want, that's okay. You be you. You can be with Scooby-Doo or whatever. That's fine. But for me, you can't control what my tongue says. I see what I see biologically, and that's the only thing I'm responsible for, right? This has not been proven psychologically or biologically speaking. You have to do this, okay? This is amana Allah Azza wa Jalla will ask us. I really, really, Allah Azza wa Jalla will ask us on Qiyamah that this was happening here right now at this very moment, and we were just sitting down doing nothing. Okay? And this is the only thing that I regretted from the school meeting. We talked about afterwards. We should have been a bit more organized, right? And I blame myself. I don't blame anyone else because we should organize together and actually made a big rally, a big protest to show our numbers, right? In that meeting, mashallah, I think it was like roughly 200, maybe 150, 200 people, right? And subhanAllah, a good number, I want to say about 30 or so were Muslims. You know, subhanAllah, there was a good representation. They didn't let anyone speak though, but it is what it is, right? What can you do? Having said that, you and I are responsible for Allah Ta'ala. Please go and change the system, make it better, inshallah. And make this dua. I mentioned during khutbah today in the Jummah that I don't want anyone to forget this. Okay? You cannot forget that talking to people, making protests, putting this petition, signing a lawyer off, whatever, these types of things, what you do in the world, but you have to please Allah Azza wa Jal. Okay? The dua of Lut alayhi salam is going to be the best thing. Rabbi najini wa ahli. Everyone can try to say it. Rabbi najini wa ahli mimma ya'malun. May Allah save Rabbi, my Lord, save me and my family from what they are doing. Make this dua regularly and constantly, inshallah. I'm here, inshallah. Ta'ala. We did write up a small little paper, alhamdulillah, for Lexington community to use, about 5 pages, mashallah, to try to use to help the petition start, inshallah. Ta'ala. I'm always at your service, inshallah, if you need me for anything. I'm here, inshallah. If you want these slides, you can have them, inshallah ta'ala. Whatever can help, inshallah, facilitate this process, inshallah ta'ala. We ask Allah ta'ala for so much dua for this, ya Rabbi al-Alamin, to make it easy, ya Allah, to solve this problem while we're alive, and to save our kids from this fitna and fasad, and save them from all the fitna of the dunya and all the fitna of the akhirah, ya Rabbi al-Alamin. Okay. I'm sorry, you had a question? Can I?
Amazing. Amazing.
Good
question.
I mean, yeah.
Upcoming election.
Yes, mashallah. The question about choosing the next school committee, and inshallah, we're at 35, so we'll finish right away, inshallah. So just briefly speaking, like, this is the thing, like, mashallah, we all come, most likely majority of us came from back home, right? And we feel a little bit not confident to go in and talk into the American system. I really encourage you, inshallah, the biggest right in this country you have is the right to vote. Right? If people are not making you happy and satisfied who's up there, then you need to come in and petition. I'm guaranteeing, mashallah, this Muslim community that's here, this Muslim community that we have here, is extremely large. We don't realize how large we are as a population. And you can, mashallah, you can make a difference here. If these people up there are all just signing off and just talking in their own vacuum, then you need to kick these people out of from being these leaders, because they're not your leaders then. They're not people that you should support at all. So my recommendation, inshallah, for when the next elections come, put it into the masjid group and let people go and sign off someone else, inshallah, that will talk for what you actually believe in. It's a very good question.
I think we're supposed to have
Daddy. Yes. Yes, inshallah ta'ala. So I think the details should be put up, inshallah. Can we finish? Okay, inshallah. I think we'll take it after, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khairan. I do apologize. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.